Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We're going to talk about marketing today. I know at first glance, that might sound a little dull, and it may be slightly dull, but listen, you need to face some realities. If you're in business, if you run or operate a business, you need to know how to market things. And if you don't, you're going to have a hard time staying in business. You know, some of you may be in providing services and products into an expanding market. An expanding market is one in which it's growing, aside from what you're doing, the market itself is growing and expanding. And sometimes in an expanding market, you can just sort of just hang out your shingle and be there and get business. That's as opposed to a mature market. And in a mature market, that has stopped happening. And in a mature market, you have to go and get to business. Most of us probably are more in the mature market mode than in the expanding market. You know, some of you, I always think about the facts of Steve Jobs, you know, late Steve Jobs, a founder of Apple. Steve Jobs, he had the unique ability to build products that we didn't even know we wanted, and we ran down there and stood in line, some of you did at least, to buy the newest thing coming out. Well, most of us don't do that either. I kind of look at it like this and that kind of thing. You know, there are people get struck by lightning every year, too. But you probably don't know anyone that got struck by lightning, and you probably don't know anyone that's had the success that Jobs had in terms of people just standing in line to buy your stuff. Most of us have to go out and earn people's business. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that today as we talk a little bit about sales and marketing. You know, sometimes in business, it's a little bit hard to face a reality. And a reality that I had to face in my own case in business is that my wonderful personality was not enough to sustain the company. I know that was hard for me to realize, and it may be hard for you to realize. In the first few years of our company's existence, when we first formed EMA, which is a sponsor of this program, by the way, the EMA website is emainc.net. You can go there and check us out. When I first formed that, almost all of our business came from referrals, and those referrals really came from personal relationships that I had around the market and in the business. And, you know, that's a great thing to have. You should have. It's some of the best business you can possibly have. You should have great relationships and great referrals from those relationships where people are telling other people about you. I mean, that really is the best scenario you can have as far as marketing. But as you begin to grow, that may not do it completely for you. You just don't know that many people. And also, as the market expands and grows and as your business hopefully grows and you get more and more employees and things of that sort, your personal relationships might begin to matter a little less. They may become a less of a percentage of your business, in which case you've got to think of how to get out and market. Back when that happened to us, I began to hire some salespeople. And quite frankly, they didn't do that well. And early on, I was sort of blaming the salespeople, as many of us and probably many of you are wont to do when you hire someone that's not doing the job. But occasionally you need to turn the focus away from that employee you hired, including a salesperson, and turn it on yourself and say, perhaps they're not being very successful because I am not running a company very well that nurtures them and allows them to be successful. And that was certainly the case, at least in many of the cases with us. And we had to do something about it. You know, I think when I first got in the business a number of years ago, it was a bit of an expanding market. This was back in 1988. It was an expanding market. At least the motor drive business was sort of expanding. It did mature, and the products and services that we provided in that business did mature, and it got to where all of a sudden we had, at least, to go out and chase business a little bit harder, take it away very often from competitors. And let me also say that customer service is a big part of marketing. In fact, I'm pretty fond of saying if you don't have a good customer service department, your marketing's a joke. Because if you get somebody that hears your advertisement, whatever, how great you are, and they come to you and find out they're not, well, they're going to tell a bunch of people that you really are not very good, and it's going to work against you. And get it back there. Here's a simple truth, and you know, I always try to say you should keep things as simple as possible. As Jim Collins is fond of pointing out, you should make things as simple as possible, but no simpler. Because there is a level beyond which you can't take simplicity. But in the area of marketing, here's what I think is one of the simplest truisms to just sort of hang your hat on and let it override everything else. And that's this, that information is marketing. Marketing is information. You cannot get away from that. Basically, you want to talk about the what, when, and the where of your products. If you are, let's say, for instance, if you're sponsoring an event, let's say a concert, that's your business, something like that, or whatever that you're doing, you know, you need to tell people what it is that you're selling or promoting. You need to tell them when it is, and you need to tell them where it is. And if you know, there is a certain amount of people out there that if you just do that, they will come to your event. If they just hear about it, they will come to it. But if you don't give them that information, so we're going to talk about several things with marketing today, but I'm going to keep going back to that what, when, and where, because that really is the basis of all of it. You need to be able to explain the what of it. You need to be able to explain very clearly and very succinctly what business you're in. Now, let me just tell you, in our business, we're in the electronic motor drive business. We talk about variable frequency drives and DC drives and things of that sort, and you know, PLCs and automation. And your average person out there, and this may be you, has no idea what that is. And that's fine with us. As I always tell folks, if you don't know what it is, you're not a prospector, so I'm not worried about you. But our prospects do know what those are. So we're very clear about what it is that we do to those prospects. I was asked several years ago, a good friend of mine was partnered with a company, and this is a very, very technical company in the pulp and paper business, and they did some very sophisticated research type services and consulting services in that business. Now, that's not a market I was in, but they were having a lot of problems growing, and these guys are friends of mine. They asked me to come in and talk to them a little bit, just in a sort of a coaching situation as to what you know, what might be going wrong with their business. Well, I really didn't know what they did, so I asked them, and we were just four of us, I guess, sitting around in a room, and I asked them, what is it that you guys do? Well, they took turns talking for about 30 minutes, and at the end of that 30 minutes, I had no idea what they did. And I told them, I said, I think I've spotted your problem with selling your services is that you are not, no one knows what you're selling. You know, you can't sell something to somebody that doesn't know what it is. And so you either are talking to the wrong person. In this case, I was certainly not a prospect of theirs, and we knew that going in, but I'm at least of average intelligence, and I am at least familiar enough with that business to know something about it, and yet they couldn't explain it to me. So I told them, you're going to have to get that down. You're going to have to get your story a little more focused. You're going to focus down a little bit and stop, you know, because they were going on and on in these deep technical details and just sort of talking over one another and I explained to them, you know, you've got to focus. People have to understand what it is that you do it. Now, everybody faces that to some extent. You know, it's like, we're all tempted, I think, to really, really, really spread ourselves thin. And you'll see you're selling this particular product, and you see another product out there that the same person's buying. So the immediate assumption is, well, we could sell that too. And in some cases, you can. But, you know, if you keep pushing that so thin, pretty soon no one, including you, knows what business you're in. And that's the danger right there. If you can't explain what business you're in, that's sometimes pointed out to us at our company when we hire someone new. Particularly a new sales employee. When we hire them, and almost anyone we hire into sales has an idea of the market we're in. They know what we do, but they don't understand our little piece of it, the niche of our business, where our sweet spots are. And that's sometimes we make the mistake of assuming they do. And consequently, we'll have some real problems with a new person when we find them sort of chasing business in areas that we're not going to get it, and we know we're not going to get business in that particular area. But we haven't explained to them where our sweet spot is, where our weaknesses, and you know, internally, everybody has weaknesses. You need to know where they are. You need to know what your strong points are, what your weak points are, and you need to clearly, within your own company, communicate those. People that work for you should know what you do. They should know what you do really, really, really well, and that's what you should sell. Play to your own strength. You know, another thing that has happened to me over the years, and it may have happened to you, is complete surprise when you'll find out that long-term, perhaps very long-term, customers don't really know what you do. They're using you for some little thing. In our case, you know, for years and years and years, we did, and still do, we did both field service and we did shop repairs on electronic motor drives. Well, we would find that, just for instance, we would have done business for years and years and years doing shop work for a guy. In other words, he sends his equipment in for us to repair. And we would find out he was using another company for field service. And we would sort of say, why aren't you using us? And he would say, I didn't know you did that. Well, that's a big shock to us, because we certainly had told them, they had our literature that said we did it, but this is the other thing. Don't ever expect people to know what you do. Tell them constantly. Make sure that you communicate that. Here's a little, and I'm going to particularly probably hurt your feelings, so we talk about emailing and mailing marketing and things of that sort in this regard, but people don't listen as carefully to you as you think they do. I kid our pastor sometimes about this. You know, they say, well, you know, I had that in a sermon. Say, well, I don't remember that. You know, maybe I slipped through that part of it or whatever. But it's the same thing for us when we're talking to customers and we're making our sales pitches or our marketing pitches, so to speak. We think they're just absorbing all this in. You know, I always get tickled when somebody will, and these tend to be people that are sort of artistic and graphics arts oriented. They'll design some absolutely fantastic, beautiful, artsy brochure that is just a work of art. And then they're all excited about how that's going to really, really, really help them. And I'll sort of tell them, say, well, you know, half of those are going to go in a trash can. The second you walk out, our sales guy walks out the door and leaves that there, it's going to go in the guy's trash can. And they're like, oh, no, these are, and I said, nope, I'm just telling you, it's happened to me, it's happened to everybody. It's very embarrassing to go back in because you forgot something and there's your sales literature in the guy's trash can. That has happened to almost anybody that makes sales calls, because the truth of the matter is folks are not nearly as impressed with your sales literature as you are. So don't depend on that. And don't depend on telling them once and thinking they suddenly have got this down. Marketing, advertising, things like that are a matter of repetition. Here at our radio station here at Biz 1190, they would tell you, the salespeople here would tell you, and anybody selling you advertising would tell you, that if you can only afford to buy one spot on a radio station, save your money. You get nothing for that. It's a repetitive part of it, and that's just part of marketing. You have to repeat it. We're going to talk more about that as today goes on. I hope you stay tuned. By the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. I am Eddie Mayfield. You're with Driven to Business. Back in a moment. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're talking today about marketing and perhaps giving a little bit of coaching. And it's hard to talk about marketing without also talking about sales. And the question does come up sometimes, what's the difference between sales and marketing? The two are certainly related, and you can't. There's probably not a definitive line between the two. I sort of think of marketing, maybe this will help you, I sort of think of marketing as a pull function. You're sort of pulling from the marketplace. Sales is more of a push function, where you're sort of pushing at people. Sales is the strategy of meeting needs sort of in an opportunistic fashion. And it's driven by human interaction. For the most part, it's more of a one-on-one type thing. Marketing, on the other hand, sort of is a broader approach. Marketing targets a demographic and sort of tries to build a brand identity out there. Now, again, the two are related. If you are trying to build a brand identity and you're sending a sales guy out who's making people mad, your brand is not going to be good. So those are very much related. But by the same token, here's the ideal situation. When a sales guy walks into a new customer, a new prospect, and he goes in and they say, yeah, we've heard about you, we've heard good things about you, that's when marketing's done its job. When that happens, when you've got a good brand, even if they don't know exactly what it is that you do, the fact that you've got a good brand out there. And remember, back to our original premise of all of this, the bottom line of marketing is that marketing is information, and information is marketing. Let's talk a minute about, so let's just pick a few scenarios, a few marketing scenarios, and just talk about it for just a minute here. Let's talk about, for instance, perhaps you sell an event of some kind. And that could be maybe I doubt there's very many of you, but perhaps you promote a concert somewhere, or you are, I'll tell you, in our case, we do, and again, this is all part of marketing, we do schools. We do variable frequency drive schools. Now, some of you have no idea what a variable frequency drive is, and that's fine, so you wouldn't need to come to our school. we do have a certain demographic out there that does know what they are and are very interested in learning how to troubleshoot and operate them. So we provide schools and seminars in that idea. So, you know, there are several ways we can do that. We can do it via email to a targeted list, that and that works very well for us. We can be sure that we have blogs and so forth where when people Google that kind of thing, they end up showing up on our website. We try to do that. We may do some telemarketing to a targeted group on that, and our salespeople sell it directly. So that's sort of the way that works. Take somebody and what I'm going to say now has to do if you're trying to sell a bluegrass concert or a church event or anything else, this is generally going to hold true for all of it. There is if you think about the demographic, the people out there in the market that you're talking to, there is almost always a demographic out there that will come to it if they just know about it. Again, going back to our simple premise we stay on, that information is marketing. Marketing is information. If they know about it, they're going to come. You don't have to do any selling. You don't have to do anything. They just need to know about it. So always make the first thing to let people know about it. If you don't do that, and you'd be astonished. I'm sometimes astonished at how that doesn't happen. I learned a long time ago, and I'll give you an example. This was a church concert that I was helping promote some years ago, or church event. And I did everything right to do it. We did all sorts of great marketing type things and had the word out and everything, except I forgot to tell the ladies that answered the phone at the church anything about it. So here's what happens. I've done all this fantastic job of getting interest out in the community about it. People are calling up, and the people answering the phone are saying, I don't know anything about that. Well, what do you think happens when that happens? When somebody's called up to talk to them about buying a ticket or something, and the person answering the phone at the place where it's supposed to be says, I don't know anything about that. I mean, that's a huge mistake. Make sure that not only is the information out there to the people you're talking to, be sure the folks in your organization are fully up to speed and know how to handle it. Again, those are the simple things we all forget, and we tend to do it. But again, there's a demographic that will come, no matter if you just let them know about it. So by all means, take advantage of that. Let them know about it. It's the what it is, when it is, and where it is. Cover those three things. It doesn't matter if it's written on a piece of yellow notebook paper. Just be sure they know that, and that's all it takes for them. There's also a group that, this may hurt our feelings, but there is a group that's not going to come no matter what you do. They're not interested in that. They're not going to come, and that's it. And you can sell till your face turns blue to them. You can give them the nicest brochures. You can have online videos. You can do everything you can think of to sell that. They're not coming. So those people you sort of just mark out of your mind, they're not coming. Forget about it. Don't spend any energy on that. Let that go. There's another group. They're not automatically going to come. They're not automatically not going to come. They're kind of in the middle. If you can think of a seesaw, like people staying, a seesaw either swings one way or the other with a slight shift in balance. These are the people that are kind of straddling the center pole of the seesaw. And, you don't have to drag them very far either way. They could take one step one way. The seesaw is going to swing toward not coming. They can take just a few inches the other way. The seesaw swings in your direction. That's another secret of marketing. You don't have to move them all the way to the end of the seesaw. Just move them a little, and they'll come. So those are three groups you deal with. There's people that are going to come if you just give them information. There are people who can be persuaded. They can be persuaded. And you're going to have to give them information and perhaps do a bit of education and maybe a little bit of marketing there, a little selling perhaps, to give them an idea why they really would like this event. And then there's some that are not going to come no matter what you do, and you basically write them off. So that's true with anything you're doing. It's true whether we're selling a VFD troubleshooting school or whether you're selling a music concert. It doesn't make any difference. That's who it is out there. Let's talk about websites for a minute, and I'm going to spend a lot more time on this in the next segment. Let me start off by telling you this. Pretty isn't enough. That's also true, by the way, of your sales literature and your marketing literature. Pretty isn't enough. Now, you'll find yourself at odds, and I have been in this argument many, many, many times when we've hired people to design both websites and marketing literature for us. they will come up with these beautiful works of art. I mean, and they really are. They're creative. They're absolutely gorgeous. But they don't have any information on there. And I'm much more detailed about that. Like, hey, you don't tell them what we do here. There's, the time's not on here. It's like when you go to some church. You go to church. I don't mean to use churches for examples, but I'm very active in church. But they, you go there and it's got all this great stuff about the church, except it doesn't tell you where they are on their website, and it doesn't tell you the times of their services. Well, what's the point? That's why you went there. So, I mean, and it's the same. Well, people come to your website. When people are coming to your website, they're coming there for specific information. You need to know why most people are coming to your website, and you need to be sure that is right in their face when they get there, or at least how to get there is very clear, where it's a short click away to get down there. You know, I think back when the web first came out many years ago, when we all began to get used to this, I think at one time we were all very impressed with things like moving slides and very pretty graphics. And you know, even at one time you'd go to websites and they would play music. But how many of you now find that very annoying if you go to a website and music starts playing like that? Does that impress you? No, it doesn't. You don't like that. Don't put that on your website. Don't do things like that. It's like these annoying advertising pop-ups. Now, people are doing that because they make money, but you find me anybody that likes that. And the answer is, heck, no, that they don't. The three-click rule, we used to always say people will only click three times. Well, that's not exactly accurate. It's accurate sort of in this regard. Your website needs to have, if your website doesn't have the content that people are looking for, they're not going to stay there very long. I've got a little report I'm going to read you in the next segment about that. But, you know, if you do have content they are interested in, they will click a lot. They will stay there and click all over the place if it's something they're interested in. And that's the bottom line. If they're interested in it and they can figure it out, that's the other part of a website. You need to keep it very simple. Keep it as simple as you can keep it, where people, you don't expect everybody that comes there to be some genius, knows how to operate. You know, this is some brilliant person can figure out to get around the roadblocks that some websites seem to put in front of people for getting there. You're listening to Driven to Business. A lot more to come about this. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're glad you're here. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here on Atlanta's WAFS Biz 1190 AM, streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program, if you missed part of it, will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes, so check us out there. By the way, on eddiemayfield.com, we usually have blogs about the programs and perhaps some links to various things about the program that you can find interesting and go there. You can also find, you know, on our site, podcasts of previous shows you might scan through. There's some very interesting guests and programs you might check out on there. We're talking about marketing today. And right before the break, we were beginning to talk about website marketing, which is probably one of the more dominant means of marketing today. That, you know, if you're in any crowd of people and you talk about anything, like I had the experience the other night sitting with some folks and we talked about a movie, and two of the people right there in the conversation pull out their smartphones and Google up the movie right there and are looking at information off the website. Well, that is just very, very, very common social interaction these days. This is the way people do things. They'll do the same to your business. When you try to tell somebody about your business and you try to explain them what you do, don't be surprised if they don't just look you up. And that's why your website has got to be, you don't have to have the most beautiful website in the world. It needs to be very utilitarian, though. It needs to have the information that people need when they go there. And let me tell you about marketing. One of the great ways of marketing, and we've talked about this on Driven to Business before, these days is called indirect marketing. Indirect marketing is sort of marketing that people don't know they're being marketed to. That's our indirect selling, is when you're selling stuff to people and they don't know they're actually being sold. You know, it goes back to the old premise about people do like to buy things. They do not like being sold things. And it's the same thing with your business. And it's the same thing in life. We're all the same way about this. So the part of the situation is to provide a value proposition when they go to your website. Provide valuable information. In our case, at our website, for instance, we will have a lot of technical blogs. Now, again, we're a little esoteric, techno-nerdy, niche business. You may be a completely different kind of business, But there's something you can provide, information you can provide on your site that people will find interesting, and not only find interesting, but find valuable to them. You need to figure out what that is, and you need to do it. Give it to them. Put it on there. The other thing, and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we talk about search engine optimization, is that is a great, great way to get yourself noticed by the search engines, is to have real information on there and not just a bunch of graphics with pretty pictures, because I'm telling you that doesn't get you anything. And it's a hard lesson a lot of people have to learn about their sites, is that pictures don't count for much. It's the content that counts. So go there and do that. We already talked about it. Pretty isn't enough. And if you find, we used to always say in the past, and it sounds kind of true, and it is to an extent the old three-click rule, that people will only click three times to get the information. They will only click three times if during those three clicks they've seen nothing of value on your site. However, if they're clicking through there and they do find that, like on the first and second and third click, they are getting valuable information, they will keep clicking. You may find somebody clicking 50. We have people go to our website and they'll click 22 times, 23 times on there. But they're looking at technical information, and what they're doing, they're burrowing deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, that's great for you. That's what you want on there. Don't confuse people on your website. You know, go to your own website or get somebody that's unfamiliar with you to go to your website and just tell you how confusing is your website. If your website is confusing, they don't need to be there. And I don't mean in a sense like, you know, I'm the electronic motor drive business. If any of you go to our business site, emainc.net, and click on there and you know nothing about the electronic motor drive business, you may find it confusing in that you won't understand the technology. That's not what I mean. If you don't understand the technology, you're not a prospect of ours. People that do understand the technology, I want to be sure they're not confused when they go there. They're not confused about where to click to get to stuff, information. You know, one of the things we've done on our site, we noticed we had a lot of click-ins and click-outs just in a hurry. Even people that seemed to be, they were Googling what we do, and they'd click in and click out. And we began to wonder about that. But one of the things we did, and this may work for you as well, we put a live support tab in there where we actually have, and they're actually, if you click on that, there is a live person there that will talk, you know, that is interact. That it's sort of like a text back and forth. It's an outside service we subscribe to do that. It's us, but I'm saying that application, you can buy that and third party and just have it installed, and you put the script on your website and they handle it, and you pay a monthly fee for that. Works out really well. We found that captured a lot of people that were leaving us otherwise, because now if they are confused, they click over on the, you know, click here for live help, and instantly we've got somebody there and they ask us their question and we can answer it. And if the person, this is an administrative person generally that answers that for us, because a lot of the questions are administrative, like what's the price of this, how do you do this, so forth and so on. But also we actually offer online technical support if they say, hey, I'm having a problem with my variable frequency motor drive, and we will get a technician on there with them, on there to help them out. It's something we do. Now, again, that's part of the value proposition, why you want people to come to your website, the idea of being of value to them so that hopefully you turn them into customers. You know, all over your site, you should have a call to action. Like, for instance, things that people can do when they're there. Like, you know, I'd already mentioned a church site. If you're a church site, for sure have your location and the times of your services on there. And any other special events you're having, have them absolutely right in people's face. Because, you know, if you're advertising a special event and people are going to your site and they can't find that special event, they're going to click off. Here's another absolute death knell for websites. If you have events and you have a tab, upcoming events or something like a lot of people do, and people click there and there's things from last month on there, immediately your website is every part of your website is in suspect to them, because they're assuming you're not keeping this website up, that no information on there is valid. And that's just how we all are. And that may be very unfair, but don't let that happen. Now, there are good ways around that. Go back to the site where and look back through and see if there's old information there. Here's how you can get around that. There's a couple of easy ways to do it. Number one is, if you can go there every day and fix the information, that's fine to do that. You can also use calendar programs. Almost all website software these days, or if you're using, you know, WordPress, a very popular website software a lot of people use, and there's many, many others. I'm not trying to sell you WordPress. But, you know, you can buy calendar plugins. They're actually free for the most part. calendar plugins you put in there. Those calendars automatically, I mean, they're following a date. And so when the date's passed, they delete that. It's not there anymore. And so people don't see that on your site. That's a good way. Just don't, you know, if people are at your site, be sure they have the idea that this site is valid and the information's on here is valid. So just don't make a mistake like that of getting that done. You can also, if you have a product page, if you're selling a product, particularly if it's a sort of an involved product where people need information about that product before they're going to buy it, be sure you put sufficient information on there. The old idea of just putting a pretty picture on there and saying call for information, here's what they're going to do. They're going to click out of your site and go to another site. Remember, you're not the only person selling this. They're going to click out of your site, Google it again, and go somewhere where they get the information they need. Let that be your place. Put the information on there. Take the time to get done with that. If you're an actual commerce site where people are going to pay, make it easy to pay. There's no excuse in this day and time to have anything that hard. You know, again, if you don't know how to do that, call. There are many, many, many applications that will do this for you. You don't have to do it yourself. If you're a small business, I would advise not doing this yourself because of security issues. Go there, get people. Hire the companies to put these applications on your site, and it'll just automatically take credit cards or PayPal or whatever it is you want to do, however you do it. But be sure it's easy to do, and don't make them jump through a bunch of hoops. You know, if people have to get confused, number one, they're going to stop trusting you. If you go in there and if you ask the same information 12 times, you know, fill this out over here, give us all your name, and now we got to pay, fill it all out again, you're going to find a lot of people click right out of your site, Google that product again, go to another site that's not as annoying as yours is, and go there. Don't be that away. Make it as simple as you can make it. Now, again, back to that Jim Collins, depending on your business and your website, there may be some level of simplicity you can't go below, and don't get so simple that you're not providing information or the functionality that's needed on your site. But keep it as simple as possible. And here's the other thing. People have got to find your site. Remember, marketing is information. Information is marketing. If people cannot find you, no matter how good you are, well, then they can't do business with you if they can't find you. And let me give you the bad news. Google is constantly changing their rules. You sort of stay up with it. But generally speaking, Google wants people to have a good web experience. They really do. And that's part of their stated goals, what they want to do. So if you are just providing good content on your site, and you don't give Google or anybody else any reason to suspect that you're fraudulent or using false advertising or anything of that sort, they will start putting people on your site. Blogs, that's the secret. That's a big secret to getting people to your site. Write very specific blogs about the topics that you're interested in. You know, I think it was Andy Stanley here in town that said, if you have the only hot dog stand in town, then your hot dogs don't have to be that good. Very few of us have the only hot dog stand in town, and we do have to be good. We have to be easier to find than the next person that we're dealing with. In the next segment, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about email marketing and some mistakes you can make with that. But again, back to this website, and I can't emphasize this enough. You do want an attractive website. And, you know, this day and age, there are people who will design sites for you. You can actually go, if you have no idea whatsoever how to do that, and maybe you don't, there are all sorts of templates you can buy. There are a number of companies that will, you know, if you'll host a site with them, they will basically give you a simple site there that'll have maybe what you need on there. If you need a more complex site with it, by all means, pay somebody to do it for you. It's not, and here's the other trick about that. We've learned this the hard way. Ask them what other sites they've designed and go look at them. If they're crummy sites, then obviously you don't need them. And by the way, you know, WordPress, again, I'm not pushing WordPress, but WordPress is a very popular website software. And one of the reasons is, you know, the actual WordPress software is free, which is sort of an amazing situation. In the next segment, we're going to talk about email marketing a little bit and try to wrap this up. You're with Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Back in just a moment.
Hey,
Welcome back to the final segment of today's Driven to Business. We hope you're enjoying it. We're talking about marketing and sales. I hope it's helpful to you in your business. Let's talk about email marketing in a minute. Let me give you the first rule of email marketing. Don't spam people. And here's the determination of spam. Spam is, if the recipient thinks it's spam, it is spam. No matter what you may think about it, it's not your choice. If they think it's spam, it's spam. If they unsubscribe to you, unsubscribe them. Now, we do a lot of email marketing and advertising. We make a lot of money off of it. I'll give you a little bit of specifics about that in just a moment. But we use an outside company to actually handle our email and our email list. Now, you could do it in-house. I'm not saying you can't do that. But I use MailChimp, and there are many others around. I'm not advertising them, but there are many others around as well. But here's the great thing about them. When you upload a list to MailChimp or to any company like that, and you do an emailing, anytime that an email bounces with a hard bounce, there's a difference in a soft bounce. A soft bounce is like, you all get these, you know, you send an email to somebody and it says, Joe Blow is out of the office. Well, that's a soft bounce. That doesn't mean it's a bad email address. It just means he's not going to get it today. But that's fine. That's called a soft bounce. A hard bounce is when it comes back and says, this is undeliverable. You know, the host doesn't know who this is, or da-da-da-da, whatever it says. That's called a hard bounce. These companies like MailChimp and others, when they get a hard bounce, that's taken out of the email list. In fact, you can't even put that back in once it's taken out. You should also always, and these outside companies that follow the canned spam rules, and you should follow them too, there's always an unsubscribe link on there. And when people unsubscribe, again, that is their right. Don't send email to people that do not want email from you. That gains you nothing. That gains you nothing. It gives you a horrible reputation in the marketplace. Don't do that. If someone unsubscribes, their system notes that. They won't even let you put that back in there. That person, I've had people unsubscribe accidentally and ask me to put them back in. And we can't even do that. I have to send them a link to go there and get back in because, again, that's the canned spam rules. But that's a great deal. They also don't let you use email addresses like, salesmanager@whatever, because that's our info at things like that. Those are usually not real email addresses. But, again, here's the great thing about that. You can take your list and upload it, after you've done this a few times, you can just grab your list out of your accounting package or wherever you're keeping your list of email addresses. And MailChimp or someone like that, they will only import the addresses that actually are good and have not bounced or subscribed. And so it makes it all very simple for you to do. Here's the other thing. You get these HTML emails. Now, HTML emails are the emails that have graphics on it and pictures and things. That's really pretty emails. And a lot of it, that works fine. I'm not knocking it. Don't discount, though, a text email. We have, in our company, we've kind of toyed with the idea. We seem to get better response out of text emails. I can't completely lock that down, but we've tried. But we seem to, in particular on some things, on very simple things we're trying to do, we will sometimes get a better response from a text email. Let me tell you the other thing about an email. The subject line is everything. The subject line is whether or not your emails are going to get open. Now, it hurts a lot of people's feelings when they begin doing emailing marketing and they track the email and you send out a bunch of emails, and you find out that only 5% of the people you sent the email to opened it up, and it sort of hurts your feelings. It's kind of like what I was talking about earlier when somebody designs a really nice sales piece, and they find out it's been thrown in the trash can. Really, you got to park your ego with a door on that and deal with reality. One way to get better open rates is with your subject line. The other way is to be sure the email is from somebody. At least they have some reason to open an email from. If they get an email and it just has your company name, again, this is my opinion of this. If this has your company name, or particularly if it has from some third party they've never heard of, they're less likely to open the email. Think about this yourself. How often do you want to open emails from people you have no idea who that is? You're likely, if you don't know who it is, you're not interested in the subject line, you're not going to open the email. Put your name on there. It's from Eddie Mayfield. Put your name on there and put a very simple, no frills subject line. The simpler, the better. Avoid using things like all caps, free. People think that's bogus. It usually is. It's bogus. Don't say that. Have a subject line like you know, in our case, VFD seminar next Tuesday. That's the kind of subject lines we use. And anybody interested in a VFD seminar is going to open that up. Anybody that's not is not going to open it, but who cares? They're not. That doesn't mean that means they're not a prospect. So, again, make the subject lines right to the point and simple, and give some thought to that. You might could try several to see what works for you, but the simplest is always the better. The other thing is, if you have a call to action of some kind in your email, a very simple call to action, maybe reply to this email to attend whatever. Be careful about teasers and don't annoy people about it. Don't have so little information in the email that you think you're going to get them to your site or get them to reply to you to get information you should have put there in the first place, and that's probably not going to work. You're just going to annoy them. Put enough information where the email is of value to them, but perhaps you do entice them. If you want to sign up for this seminar or whatever you're doing, event, whatever you're doing, have them come back to you and put that back. Don't forget the what, when, and where. If you're advertising an event, the first line of the email, don't put a bunch of sales gobbledygook in there about, hey, this is the greatest concerts ever in life and blah, 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 blah. So-and-so concert, this date, so-and-so concert next week at and laying the place. Make that your first line. Let people see the first thing is that this is the information they want to know. Remember, there are a bunch of people who will sign up. There is a certain segment of people out there that will sign up just from that. And then after you do that, then do all your great sales stuff down below that and all your fancy, if you want to, your sales literature. Tell you another thing about email lists, and this is the same thing true with a mail list. The list is king. Back when we used to do a lot of mail marketing, snail mail marketing, I used to tell people this all the time because it's absolutely true. We'd come up with these fantastic graphic designed mail pieces, and I would remind people that you get more response out of a handwritten note on a paper bag that you mail to the right list than you do with the fanciest piece of literature imaginable mailed to the wrong list. The list is everything. And in business, if you want to market, you need to be aggressive and consistent about collecting names and emails by whatever means you can. You collect names and emails. I don't mean going out and buying them. That sometimes doesn't work too well. But in your daily interactions, be sure you are asking people for that information. Give them every opportunity to give you that and keep up with it religiously. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. You know, in our company now, because we've been in business many years, I have tens of thousands of emails addresses that we have. Now, they're not all good at any given time. I can tell you that every time you do an emailing, I'm going to tell you this again from the Eagle thing. Every time you do it, you're going to get some unsubscribes. Every single time without fail that you do it, you're going to get some unsubscribe, unless you're mailing to your, six members of your family who'd be embarrassed to unsubscribe. But other than that, you're going to get unsubscribes on there, which is why you got to be constantly on the lookout for more emails. And again, don't take offense at that. If a person, maybe their job description has changed and they're no longer a prospect for you, well, they're doing you a favor, really, by taking their name off that. So make that. Invest in your marketing list. I mean, spend time doing it. It will change. It will change. It will change. And again, talk about opening rates a while ago. Again, don't be upset about that. Not everybody's going to open every mailing or emailing. I've had to face that myself. It kind of hurt my feelings to find out how few people were opening our emails up. But I was told that when we had a sales guy at one time, we'd mailed out several thousand emails, and I had like 300, I think, open up. And we told him, he said, how long would it really take you to get in front of 300 people? And that's a great way to look at that. I hope today's program has been helpful to you. Go to eddiemayfield.com. I'm going to have a blog there, a little more detail about this. Get out there and market. Experiment. Try things. And grow your business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. You're listening to Driven to Business. We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.